This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news in shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
I guess we're on the air. Is that what you do? I was impressed.
This is not a dry run,
you know,
sir.
Dave, you actually can count backwards from five. Can you count backwards from 10, though?
Oh, no.
That's kind of pushing.
I just do five twice.
10 digits too much.
I just do five twice.
How about in Spanish? That's even, let's get
Oh, no, no. No. I'm barely fluent in English, so.
I mean, in Spanish, I'm good. I'm cerveza, por favor, and baño. It's about as far as I get.
Hey. Oh, baño, that's good.
That's not bad.
You need to know where the baño is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1-888-221-8990. Write that phone number down, class. This is important. 1-888-221-8990. This is toll free from any place. In fact, I just had a call just before we came in from a client of mine from WCNO who is moving back up to Kentucky. Her roots.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. That's where her roots are. Her mama's not getting any younger, and she's gonna go back up there and work up there and take care of mom, which you never notice how life works sometimes.
This person's a CNO listener?
Yep, she's a faithful CNO listener, and in fact she might be listening today because she called me like an hour ago. And by the way, that clock up there is only 1 hour off.
But only 1 hour.
Only
we will not allow more than an hour.
It didn't fall back.
It didn't fall back. Yeah. It just stayed.
None of us are tall enough to reach it.
Wait 6 months.
Right. Back in '04, Joe Martech, financial advisor, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Greg Fasulo, attorney, decided to start doing radio shows. And why did we do that? Well, number one, Joe Martech has clients not only in Florida but in 13 other states, and people constantly ask me questions that I don't know the answers to. So the first ones that I wanted to find was an attorney, and I know this kind of makes people wonder why I would do such a thing, but basically when I meet a new suspect or a prospect, I ask them if they have their affairs in order. I often say, are you ready to die? And they'll say, oh boy. Well, then I say, okay, fine, we need to counsel you in two directions. One, you have to be ready to meet your maker. And if you're ready for that one, the other part's easy. But the other part is, do you have a will or a trust? Well, if you don't, I felt it's kind of my responsibility to stir the pot a little bit and put that cart and horse in the right area. And then to find an attorney that was user-friendly, that was not pretentious, not arrogant, a good listener, didn't gouge people.
Is he a robot?
I know, had to be.
Because he's user-friendly?
And I will tell you, we all know Greg Fasulo. Everybody's sitting in this room.
Yes, he's a great guy.
And he happens to be one of the few attorneys in the whole world that you'd like to have as a next-door neighbor. He's just a flat, good person, and he helps people. His heart is good. He's a monster believer, as the rest of us are, and what goes around comes around. If you do the right thing for people, it'll come back to you. So he was number one, and then Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. That was critical because those of you that have lived in Florida since 1992, when Hurricane Andrew hit, it created a whole different aura around the state of Florida because Hurricane Andrew put out of business somewhere around 12 or 13 companies. However, and maybe you know this, maybe you don't, but we may have talked about this. If they were an admitted carrier into the state of Florida, the state of Florida was your partner. They would pick up in case the companies were insolvent, the state of Florida paid the claim. So everybody got paid, but it still created a massive change in the complexion of Florida. So a lot of companies at that time started non-renewing people or canceling people, and it created a monster change. So I needed a, quote, independent insurance agent that did not work for one company, but that worked for the client. But he also had to have multiple companies. You can be independent and have one company. But Dan has only been in business for like 38 years, and under his umbrella is roughly 100 companies. So when one falls out of favor, he can help people with the other. And I think everybody in this room, again, or almost everybody, has experienced what Dan can do for us in saving us money and getting us better or the same coverage. And that was important. Then, over a period of time, we added other critters to this crew. CPA was critical.
Yeah, as long as they're critical, not varmints. We're so, critters.
So Vince Rosina, well, what happens is the topic of taxes.
All the time, very, very prevalent right now.
Yeah, and
it's
monster,
in the news.
Big time. We're going to get into that in a couple minutes. So Vince Rosina, CPA, and I wanted a CPA, not just a person that was, quote, an accountant. Not that they're not competent, but when a CPA has his rear end on the line, and when he signs a piece of paper, he's got more liability than most people do. So the government they're a little tougher on a CPA, and the education is there. And Vince Rosina, CPA, is not only a regular, quote, CPA, he's also a forensic CPA, which means the court system recognizes him as an expert witness. And last but not least, he was a college professor.
But not at Columbia.
But not at Columbia.
Next best school.
He was in
State University of New York. Old Westbury.
Little tiny school in New York called University of New York. And then he moved to Florida 12 years ago.
Yeah.
And then we met surreptitiously.
Probably about 6 years ago.
Whatever it was. And then
ago.
I said, Vince, I need to have a CPA that knows what he's doing. And he says, do you take old Italian guys? And I said, I didn't know any young Italian guys.
I wasn't that old.
You are now, though.
Anyway, not as old as you.
That's not a pretty picture. So Vince Rosina, CPA, joined us, and then we also added Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, realtor, who I've only known since 1980, who knows every street in these two counties and half the other counties around us. And we added Mike Polis, mortgage broker. In fact, I had two phone calls this week from Mike. The mortgage business probably gets more attention than anything else. And what happens is, most people don't know, but somebody like Mike can do the same thing as any bank. And the thing that Mike's going to do for you that the average bank doesn't do, within 15 minutes, you'll know what you can get. Some banks might take 2 to 3 weeks to tell you what you can get or not get. Mike will tell you in 15 minutes. So we put the group together with simply basically to try to help people and cover most of the areas that we take for granted, and not including Alan Love, who's a guest attorney, who's an ex-prosecuting attorney from Wisconsin. Under our umbrella is roughly 200 years of experience, and if we added Alan Love to that, who's been a faithful guest now for about a year, that would put us over 350 years of experience, because he is really old.
Wow. You are really blessing everybody this afternoon being live, because I was sitting at a amplitude modulation radio station, an AM station this morning, and you were transcribed like in the old days.
Scary. Transcribed?
Yes.
Who's transcribed me?
You were not live.
I wasn't. They did. We've been doing these because we're only doing half hour shows up in PSL. At 1590 AM, which I would
only
never
half
plug.
Hour up there.
Oh, they're doing their Christmas kids.
Yeah,
they're raising money for underprivileged children, which is a good thing. So we give up half of our shows for 4 or 5 weeks. And did they transcribe an old show or half hour show?
They edited a half hour show.
They edited a half. Thank you so much.
And they'd like to know whether you're going to be live for a half hour next week at 10 o'clock or.
Who wants to know that?
Victoria.
Wow. Victoria?
Sure.
Veronica.
Veronica,
sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I'm thinking Victoria. Of Victoria Lloyd.
Were you up at the station today?
Yes, yeah. I was. Had a very nice time.
So you
there.
Had a good time without me?
Yes.
Very good.
But
I didn't think that was possible.
There are some important matters we have to discuss today besides taxes. You know, I've said one of the warning signs of a correction, not predicting anything, it's just a warning sign, because it usually happens quite frequently when the market is nearing a trend change. Today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was up approximately 100 points, but NASDAQ was down over 80.
Right.
And what's the bond market doing today?
The bond market was slightly lower.
It's history. Bond market is history. Because interest rates go up, bonds go down, interest rates
No, but usually they're a harbinger of what's going to happen to the... There's a link from the bond market to the stock market.
Yeah, but think about this. The easy prediction is interest rates go up, bonds go down, right? I mean, that's the easy one. And they're going to raise interest rates again in December because our gross domestic product is up over 3%, which makes our current president extremely happy and a little gloatful. Can you imagine that? You like my word gloatful? That's a new word.
I don't know. Did you make that up?
I think I did. Gloatful and boastful are kind of synonyms.
When you spoke that, gloat. It was like the correction in my head was putting a red line underneath that word.
I like that. I like that. Yeah. Well, and we'll talk about that, too, in a little bit, Alan, because that is a major concern.
Sure.
Now, on the other hand, a correction doesn't necessarily mean that the market's going to stay down. Oftentimes, a correction occurs from profit-taking, where a lot of the big boys come in and they take a monster profit and they run out a lot of the little people and they run out some of the big people and then they buy again when the market's low.
Well, we saw that the last couple of days. Money was coming out of the tech stocks like Amazon, right. Bang, the FANG stock, and they were moving into the money center banks.
So there's all kinds of things that we internally can talk about here that the average person doesn't know, but My reality is this, and I'm running around the circle here, not exactly where I want to go, but overall, our domestic economy is very strong and getting better. And if tax reform actually does occur, there are some people going to get hurt. Nobody really knows what the tax thing is going to go. And Vince, we can talk about that till we're blue in the face. You get information every single day about what's going, but we really don't know what's going to pass in the bill. We got to play Nancy Pelosi and say we got to sign for it and adopt it just so we know what it is.
I think that there's only a few really, but big sticking points. But there aren't that many differences between the House bill and the Senate bill.
So what?
But there's big differences like state and local tax deductions.
Yeah, big time.
I mean, they're huge. That's because the Northeast is got
upset
is,
to me.
They're very
and California.
Upset. And California.
Yeah. 1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. Who didn't we mention yet? We didn't mention Mike Powell.
Well, let's see. Mike, you mentioned with the
Mission Victoria Lloyd, Remax and Stewart.
Yeah, how about we did mention.
Mentioned Dan and mentioned, yeah.
And
Mike Powell's mortgage broker. And I mentioned a little bit about him. In 15 minutes, you'll know where you stand, whether it's a reverse mortgage, a regular mortgage, FHA mortgage, refinance. There's all kinds of different programs out there. Had a couple of calls this week from people. And a lot of people think it's hard to get a mortgage, and it's not. The rule today is you have to qualify. Now, how do you qualify? Well, you have to have shows that you can afford it. That's number one. And that you are actually responsible, meaning you have decent credit where you're paying your bills. If you had a problem in the past, you have to explain what the problem was. Could have been a health problem, could have been a loss of a job. All these things are not held against you as long as they're explainable. So Mike is one of those that will tell you in 15 minutes, probably over the phone, what you can qualify for so you know where you're going to go. 1-888-221-8990. And just in case you don't want to talk to us on the radio, you can call that number anytime during the week. Pastor Tom, Dave, Karen, whoever takes your phone call will take your name and number and we will call you back. 1-888-221-8990. So, Vince, talk a bit about what's going on with the House and the Senate with this tax bill.
Well, you know, the House passed the bill already.
Right.
But, you know, it's there's the wing of the Democrat Party out there is claiming that it's really not good for the middle class. And from what I can see, there's a lot more favorable parts of the bill going to the upper income people. That's my observation.
Sure.
They're eliminating most deductions and replacing it with a higher standard deduction.
So what's the regular standard deduction
today?
Well,
if you know, a standard deduction depends. If you're single or married.
Let's say you're married with two kids.
Well, that deduction doesn't depend on the number of children you have.
Doesn't.
It's whether you're single or married. If you're single, it's 6,300. If you're married, it's 12,006.
And it's going to go
and that's going to go to 24,000 and change, nearly double.
That means that portion doesn't get taxed.
Right. That portion of your income won't be taxed.
Okay.
So really what they've done is they've eliminated a lot of itemized deductions. Like, well, obviously state and local deductions, but a lot of what they have in there doesn't affect too many people here in Florida, except for really high income earners. Because of most of my clientele, at least, they reach a certain point in their life, they're not incurring $24,000 worth of itemized deductions anyway. Because right. Think about, what are itemized deductions? Things like mortgage interest, taxes on your home, charitable deductions. Giving. Medical expenses in excess right. of 10% of your income.
Right, right.
Those things. And most people, unless you're, like I said, if you're making
lots
of money, yes, you could be affected favorably by that.
Well, the old rule is, and unfortunately not all of us agree with it, but the old rule is 90% or 80% of the taxes are paid by the top 5% of the earners, wage earners in America. Which, let's face it, if you're making $500,000 or $1 million a year, you can afford to pay more in tax. Than a person making $25,000 or $50,000 a year. So it's not totally inequitable. And they're not really going to change that portion, but they are.
But not, well, that's true, except if you're campaigning on giving a middle class tax break.
Right.
How do you define middle class?
See, there comes a major problem. Yeah. Where is that number?
I mean, what is that number? Is it $100,000 a year to $400,000? Is that middle class? What do you mean by that? So there's a matter of semantics. Now the other thing is, you know, they give, but they're taking. They're giving you a little higher standard deduction, but they're taking away your personal exemptions. Now, what's included with an exemption? For you, your spouse, and your children.
Right.
So if you're two and your spouse, and you have four children, or three children, or even two, so you got
right,
four, right?
Right. Right.
Well, each one's worth about $4,000. So if you lose $16,000 there, and they give you an extra $12,000 on the top side. Yeah, you do recover some of it. There's a balancing act because they're giving you a little more in a child credit, for example. You lose all the exemptions.
Right.
They'll give you $600 more in child credit, and they give you a bump up in the standard deduction. But you lose the exemptions.
But I think where it really is coming out.
Depends on each circumstance. You can't just say it's bad or good. No. Depends on where you are financially.
But there's also another problem with it is middle class, if you're living near San Francisco, might mean you have to have $250,000 worth of income because housing is extremely expensive. Sure. We're out, if we live in Florida, might be $100,000 is middle income or $75,000.
Right.
If you live in New York, it might. If you're in a city,
It could be $300,000.
Yeah, because the cost of living is extremely high.
The debate that's going on is that the states that don't have income taxes or have low income taxes feel like the ones that have high taxes are getting a bigger benefit, and it's being subsidized by states like Florida. Whether we don't have state and local tax deductions to speak of. They give us sales tax, yes.
Yeah.
That's in place of the state and local. But up there, I mean, you're talking about an average home, let's say a $500,000 house up there is paying $15,000 a year in property taxes.
Property taxes. Right.
Never mind what they're paying in state income tax.
Plus insurance.
All of which is deductible.
Yeah.
So now they want to eliminate all that.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it's going to be interesting.
It'll be very interesting. And each one is different. I'm starting now doing the what-ifs. I wanted to wait to see, you know, how close we are before we do what ifs. You know, take an example client and say, okay, if the new law was in place today, how would it affect you?
Yeah.
And is it good for you? Well, what range does it really start to become not so beneficial?
Well, hey, you know, we are in for tax change, whether we call it reform or whatever you want to call it. There's going to be some changes done. This is just a monster part of this administration, and it looks like they're going to pull it off.
Well,
not everybody's going to agree with it, no matter what we do.
Well, the other thing is they're picking on the, this is my own ox that's being gored, is they're not giving professional types the tax break.
You mean you
it's
don't
on get, the pass-through? You don't get that 25% cap.
Oh, here's because they're talking for businesses. They're going to lower the
tax. They're going to lower the tax on pass-throughs like S corporations, partnerships, LLCs. Mm-hmm. All the pass-through income and those types of entities, they're going to cap the rate at 25%.
And what if
except if you're in a professional services business?
Now, what if you're in a professional services and you form an LLC or that?
Doesn't matter.
Makes no difference. No. They can eliminate professional. See, they don't like accountants. I'm not too big on you either.
Not accountants. It's all professional services. You're talking about architects, lawyers, doctors.
Financial advisors.
Financial advisors.
Scary. This is not good.
No. And there's not a lot of pushback.
Are they taxing attorneys at double?
No. Well, I don't know. Based on ego, they get taxed.
Good. Alan, you're safe.
One thing I think we have to mention is we've been talking here about individual taxes, but if they do in fact lower the corporate tax rate, that's right. going to have a significant effect on job creation.
I'm not so sure. You see, that I debate people all the time about that. I don't know what these corporations are going to do with that tax savings, whether they're going to invest it. If they haven't already had it on the boards to invest in property and factories and things.
Isn't this a real rule of life? If I make widgets and I sell 10 widgets and it takes one person to sell 10 widgets, and now I sell 20, I've got to hire an extra person because I can't do one per 10.
If I sell 20, well, how are you going to get to 20?
Well,
you got to have people with money to spend.
There you go.
If they don't have the money in their pockets to spend, then you're not going to have the demand, so they're not going to need to build the factories and add the people and do all those things.
It's kind of a catch-22.
Yeah, so that's why I don't buy the argument that you lower taxes and it leaves more jobs. I don't think so.
What about the money that they're talking about if you bring back money that the corporations have stashed overseas?
That's all good. That's all good. What they're saying is that there are some companies within the law that have earned profits overseas and have kept those profits overseas and didn't repatriate.
Right.
So what does that mean? That defers the taxes until the time that they do repatriate.
Right.
Well, what the government wants to do is encourage them to repatriate the earnings. So they're saying, well, we'll give you a deal. We'll charge you 15% or as low as 10% on all the money you're going to bring back in. Again, under the theory, the government gets the cut.
Right.
And then they can feel free then to reinvest in the states and
back again. Yeah. See, my thing is this. There's two ways to, quote, reinvest. One is real reinvestment. They put money into the company to build more products, expand factories, do whatever. The second way is you pay the money out to your owners, which means stock owners. Now, the odds of both of those happening is very debatable. Back again, if I make 10 widgets and I sell 10, I'm fine with just the way I'm at, no matter how much I've got coming in. But if I have no demand for 20, I'm not going to add more factory.
Well, what's going to happen, Joe, in my opinion, is you're going to see higher dividend rates, which is going to help the market.
Right.
And because the company's got more money that they can then distribute.
They'll start paying bigger dividends.
And there's a few senators that even went as far as to say, hey, hold on a minute. We want to cut their tax rates and we want to let them deduct those dividend payments. Because up till now, corporations could not deduct those dividend payments, even though you had to pick it up as income when you got it.
Double taxed.
So it was double taxed.
But there comes another problem. And now here's one, Alan. I don't care what we do, Vince. What's our deficit today?
$20
trillion. Trillion. Mm-hmm. Not million, not billion, trillion.
Trillion.
This is hard to fathom. Nobody listening understands a trillion because none of us have that many zeros in our checkbooks, let alone a million or a billion or a trillion. It's an astronomical number. How is this house of cards going to be reconciled? Under the best of circumstances, they're saying under the new tax thing, we might have 2, 3, 4 years of increased deficits.
Right. I think the latest, Joe, the projection on this current tax bill is $1.4 trillion to the deficit.
So it would be 21 or 22 trillion
if nothing else happens. And that's if all the budget goals are reached, you know?
Now and what happens, the average person says, yeah, so what? I'm living paycheck to paycheck. I've got a family to feed and I go to work. What's the difference? Now, quite honestly, there's probably not much that's going to happen. But in the long run, we have this national economy. We have infrastructure. We have all kinds of internal problems that need to be addressed. And we don't want to become a third world country because we spend always more than we take in. At some point, the house of cards will crumble.
You see, that's where the disconnect is, Joe, because the American people in general, most people, don't feel the effects of budget deficits.
Of course not.
They don't. They're living, as you say, week to week, paycheck to paycheck. But there is this big global debt problem.
Big problem.
And you know, the debt, the interest on the debt takes up a bigger and bigger portion of our budget. What does that mean? In the end, something's got to give. You're pushing on that balloon, it's going to come out on the other side. So either they're going to have to cut entitlements.
Right.
They keep talking about it. Right now, it's the third rail of politics, they call it. because nobody wants to go near it.
No.
There's too many people involved. Do you want to cut Social Security benefits? Cut Social Security disability for people? Forget it. You'll have riots in the streets.
Well, if we take 84% of the budget, all but 14% of the budget covers everything except defense, Social Security, Medicare, and interest. So Social Security, Medicare, defense
and interest is 80% of the budget?
It's 86%. No. Yeah, 86. 14%
is the only discretionary thing.
Covers education. I mean, all kinds of every little tiny thing you can think of.
But think about that. 14% is what we call discretionary, Joe. That means you have the choice to spend it any way you want.
But there's very little in the scope of the whole thing. Our major expenditure, and our current administration wants to strengthen the military, which doesn't mean they're going to cut that. Social Security and Medicare, every person, including me and Alan, and you soon, would be just jumping up and down saying, what do you mean you're going to take away my Social Security and my Medicare? No way.
Well, they'll never take it away. Well, never. But what they probably will do is modify it, cut it down.
Over the people that are 40 or 50 years today, they are worried, and I don't blame them, because they are coming into a different world that has all the problems that have been created, not their fault, but they're going to inherit them.
Yeah.
Now, if interest rates keep going up, today 6 to 7% of our total budget is interest. Interest rates go up, that could be 7 or 8, 9, 10%. It just keeps sucking away at that 14% of discretionary. So much for infrastructure and all the rest of it.
And you know what happens when rates go up? Cost the government more money to finance itself.
Exactly.
And so it's not good all around.
Anyway.
Except the only people who make out, I should back up a little bit, people who have money, invested money, they'll make out better. Because they'll give you a higher rate of interest on your deposits. Those kind of things. So there are some winners.
There are some winners. Well, the other side of the coin is right now, too, and we're going to talk about this in the last half of the show or so. I want to talk a bit about money and what is going on. And, Alan, if there's 50 people out there with opinions, there's 25 with one side of the coin and there's 25 with the other side of the coin. What is going to happen with investments? So that's a big, 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 big subject today. But what's the Senate version of the of this tax budget? When is that going to come to?
Supposedly it came out of committee yesterday, I think, and from then it paves the way for it to go to the floor, and I guess then they can come to a vote. They can start arguing, and then eventually bring it to a vote. They're hoping by Christmas that they'll have something on the president's desk. At least that's what they're shooting.
I could get it over with one way or another. The key with it, this is my opinion, is that no matter what happens, it can be changed, given time. And our government has had a way of changing things, not always to the betterment of the country, but a lot of times to stay elected. If I want to build the bridge to nowhere because it's good for my constituents, I get it approved. If we want whatever, obviously this has been a pretty much self-serving for a lot of the people, but. Hey, thank you, Lord. We get to live in America, and I thank him every day. Every day. I mean, I've been all
over. Likewise, Joe. There's something else you should know, and the listeners should know, is that there is quite a number of senators that want to have a trigger point, which all those rates go back to where they were.
Mm.
What they're saying is they want to keep the tax cut for the corporations permanent.
Yeah.
But the individual tax cuts, they want to peg it to performance.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in 2025, if they don't meet their targets, they're going to revert right back to where they were. So they're going to sunset them in 7 years.
The whole key with everything is, every 4 years we get a new administration in who comes in and promises to do something, and they probably do the best they can to make it happen. And sometimes it gets better, sometimes it doesn't. It seems like we've done a dozen for a long time. But on the other hand, our economy is humming. Gross domestic product is humming two quarters in a row over 3%.
That's what they tell us.
A lot of people a year ago said it would never get up that high. Never. I mean, they were 100% adamant that we'd be in the twos for a long time. So part of the new administration's programs, which a lot of the stuff doesn't need to get approved by Congress, it can be executive actions, are working, or at least it appears to be working.
Well, I'm in the camp that doesn't believe the statistics that come out of the government, because every month or two they go back and revise the ones that they gave you those couple of months earlier. So I don't believe half of that.
You know,
stuff.
You heard the consumer confidence numbers are higher than they've been in 17 years.
That I can believe.
People are
just talk
optimistic.
To people. If you talk to your neighbors and friends, you'll hear that.
Optimistic. Are you optimistic, Alan?
I'm optimistic, but isn't it an interesting dichotomy? The consumer confidence numbers are way high, but yet the president's popularity is near a low.
Now, here comes another question, though. Have you noticed that when the polls were done before he got elected, there's no way he was going to get elected?
I noticed that.
Yes. You noticed that. Can you trust
the polls?
What you read, hear, see in the media?
It gets back to my point earlier. I don't believe anything that comes out of that.
It's almost impossible. You can't really. I mean,
it's just not verifiable.
And how are you going to verify? There's just almost no way. What's the credibility of these pollsters? It was almost became none when that last election occurred. 1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. Now listen, folks, this is a talk show, meaning you're supposed to call us and ask questions. Now, we have a CPA sitting here. We have an attorney sitting here. We have a pastor sitting here. We have a financial advisor sitting here. And we have a refugee from misery sitting here.
Just so you know,
my love of my life, new girlfriend has just moved from where is that place? Misery? Mm-hmm. St. Joe, Missouri. To Florida, and she said, Joe, do people actually still live in misery that have found Florida? And I said, you know, some people actually go back there. Can you imagine that?
Yeah. Well, people go back all over the place.
Isn't that weird?
Kansas.
I mean, you know, Kansas. I mean, she's if she swam across the river, she'd be in Kansas. I mean, it's right there.
Yeah.
1-888-221-8990. So if you've got any questions, anything you want to know about Kansas or misery, this is a good place to call, because we have a native here that can fill you in on all the details. You want to talk about taxes? We got them. You want to talk about the law? We got them. You want to talk about Pastor Dave when being a preacher or a teacher? Don't ask him.
Theology.
It's not his
101.
Show. Not his show.
Right. I'm interested. When are you going to give that course?
Well, at some point.
Boy, you narrowed that right down. You got him picked.
I got him.
You know, Vince and I are ready to. We're your charter members. You know,
I know.
We're ready.
I think I'd have to do it very subtly, because this is your show, as you say. And
we don't want you.
Well, we don't want to do it on
our show. We want to do it on your time, not
my
show.
Right. Okay. Sure.
Vince, can I just go back to one thing that we've talked on previous shows? At this point, you don't see Congress touching the 401ks and retirement plans, right?
Absolutely not. In fact, they've emphasized it over the past several weeks that they're not going to touch it. President Trump was pretty emphatic about it. They did bring it up, say, well, maybe we're going to modify it. Don't let them have such a big benefit on those 401ks.
Or did that go over like a lead balloon?
Yeah. Well, you know, the government, they don't talk about this, but one of the greatest landslides and avalanche of money coming in is going to be on all these baby boomers through the RMD programs going to be taking money out, paying taxes.
Well, see, what Vince was just saying is this. When you have an IRA, an individual retirement account, or a 401k, which is a retirement account with your employer, or a 403b, which is another employer-sponsored retirement account, any retirement account, the rules are pretty much the same. I say pretty much, there's minor exceptions, but the basic rule is this. If you take out money out of that account prior to age 59 and a half, you pay a penalty, and it's subject to whatever the tax rate is at ordinary income at that time. After you're 59 and a half, you can take out whatever you want without a penalty, but it'll be subject to tax at your tax rate at that time. When you turn 70 and one half, which is the leading edge of the baby boomers today, whatever retirement you have, the government says you have to start taking out what's called a required minimum distribution, and that's calculated, I'm going to give you loose definitions, roughly 4% that first year. When you turn 90, it's around 10%. When you turn 115, you take your last dollar if you're not dead. So they have a formula each year that changes. You take out a higher percentage,
right, exactly,
until the money's gone or you die.
You're forced to take it out.
You're forced to
pay. And you're forced to pay the tax.
And you're for And it may not pay tax, but it's subject to tax.
It's subject to tax.
Depending,
I mean, you may have other things to offset it, but it's subject to tax.
Exactly. So I'm going to talk a little bit about money.
Oh, right, right.
And then what I'm going to do, I'm going to use Pastor Dave so I can keep him awake. Because so I use him as my
Pastor Tom's a backup out there.
No, Pastor Tom, he'd fall asleep on me in a heartbeat. So what happens is, this is an actual client, and this is a statement that I printed off today. Now, what happens is, Pastor Dave has never seen this before, so what I want to do is ask him questions and have him ask me questions, because one of the things that we do is take things for granted that we know because we do it every day.
Exactly.
Like words like RMD.
RMD, right.
I mean, that's a standard word for us. If you don't, 90% of the people wouldn't have a clue what we're talking about until they reach 70 and a half or 71, then
and
all
somebody
of a sudden
says
they
find
out.
You got to take your RMD.
So if you notice at the top of this page, Pastor Dave, it's got my name. Then it has policy details for, and I crossed out the name of the client.
Right.
Then I come down further. It says annuity type. You see that word?
Yes.
IRA?
I do.
Then it's got policy status in force. That means it's active.
Right.
Then it has issue date. What's that issue date?
November 16th, 2016.
Okay. Now, go down to number two. What's that say?
Number two.
It's on the left-hand side of the page, straight down from one. This is hard for you, I know.
It comes after one, Pastor.
It comes after one.
Show me where
it's
is.
It's two, okay. But that's okay.
Oh, I see.
It's a funny-looking two. See, he's not good at reading twos.
It's,
what's that say?
Okay, that says total deposits, and you want me to read the amount?
Yeah.
Okay, $84,361.85.
And what's the next item, which is three?
That's accumulated value, $105,645.12.
So is there a little bit of difference between the $84,000 and the $105,000?
Yeah.
That's number four. What is that?
That's the surrender-free amount available, $21,283.27.
Now, what's that mean to you?
That means... I can have access to those funds.
Yeah.
That's money I can take out.
Yeah. That also means in the last 12 months, you have earned $21,283.27.
Okay.
And that amount you can take out of this contract with no penalty.
Cool.
Not so bad, huh?
Do you realize that is a return of 25%?
It's actually 25 point. You see that number they're written on the side there? What's that say?
It's 25.22%.
That's 0.22. Actual gain in 12 months. Now, go over to number five.
Okay, that says total death benefit.
So if this was your account and you dropped dead today, your family would get?
Would get $105,645.12, which is the same amount as the accumulated value.
Very good. I'm impressed. Wow. Now, go down to the next line. What's that say?
That says surrender charge amount, and that's $6,327.14.
So that means if you wanted to cash this whole thing in today,
right?
And by the way, in this contract, no money was held out of it at the beginning. All your money went to work for you.
Right.
So the company wants you to stick around for a while so they can make money.
Definitely.
So if you decided to leave after 12 months, there's still a penalty.
Right.
And you would get how much money?
The cash surrender value is
very good. Very good.
$99,262.78.
Now, how much did you put into this contract?
$105,600. Oh, $84,000.
So is there a difference between 84 and 99?
Yes.
Okay, that's very good. I'm just a test. You know, I'm just making sure you can read.
About
now,
15,000.
Now, go back to number eight down at the bottom.
All right.
What's that say?
Okay, that's the guaranteed withdrawal balance, and that's $104,172.39.
Now, you might wonder what that is.
Well, a thought did cross my mind. I know what the word withdrawal means.
The way this contract works is this. On each anniversary, if the contract value goes up, they lock that number in. So on the anniversary, exactly 12 months after that client started, and they started with how much?
They started with $84,361.85.
And the guaranteed is how much?
$104,102.72.
Okay, because here's what happens. Let's say the market corrected Now, Alan, have we heard that word correction lately?
Yes, we have.
Corrected means the market's going to go down. And there's been times where the market has gone 20, 30, 40%. Could have taken a major hit. The economy turned, things happened. So what this happens is this, that $104,000 is their locked-in guaranteed withdrawal balance. Can't go down from that number. Mm-hmm. Can go up from that number, but it can't go down. Then what's the next line item?
The next item is guaranteed annual withdrawal amount, which is $5,208 and some change.
If you're not too young, 65 give or take,
right,
you can take out 5% per year for the rest of your life based on that 104, not on what you put in, 84, but based on the new dollar amount, 84, the $104,000. So basically what this is saying, if the market collapsed tomorrow, this person knows they've got $104,172 times 5%, $5,208 that they can take out every year for the rest of their life.
That's cool.
Now, what I didn't tell you is every year on the anniversary date, if the market goes up, they recalculate it up. Mm-hmm. If the market goes down, they never go down. It can only go up.
So it only goes up.
Can only go up.
Cool.
So basically, the bonus basis you're looking today means forget the $84,000 they put in, forget what it's worth today in case they die, but based for the rest of their life, they've got $104,172 as their base to calculate income for the rest of their life. And then once a year, it can be recalculated.
That's neat.
Question.
Yes.
That's an IRA, right?
Yes.
So if you're over 70 and a half, part of that $5,000 that you can take out every year would count for your required minimum distribution.
Absolutely.
Correct?
Now, you don't have to take out the whole $5,000.
No.
You can just take out the required. Now, that was a really good observation there, Alan, because let's say your required minimum distribution, RMD, is more than 5%. They have to comply with that rule and give you that withdrawal without any penalty or cost to you. They have to comply with required minimum distribution. So, in other words, if it's 10%, they're going to have that as a guaranteed figure that no matter what, you have to be able to take.
Now, how old is this person, Joe?
65.
So the average lifespan is what, 78 years of age?
Well, for a woman, I think it's more like 20 more years.
Probably.
20 more?
Yeah.
The 98?
85. She's 65.
Oh, okay. So, 20.
It's a mathematical question here.
20,
I know you're
20 more than what? You didn't say.
65.
So, so you're saying 85 for a woman. And this is a woman?
Yeah.
Okay. So if she's getting $5,000 guaranteed for the rest of her life, we're talking 20 years. Mm-hmm. So would she not be just getting her principal back? What she put
in?
Well,
no, but here's what happens. When she dies, there's a death benefit that basically gives 5% a year growth. Family's going to get back pretty much what she put in.
So this $5,000 that she's getting is irrespective of the benefit, the death benefit.
What happens is the death benefit in this contract also every quarter they lock it in. If the quarter is more than, see, if it's 5% a year, that's 1.75% every 3 months. If they earns more than that, they lock that in. So it's the highest quarter or 5% a year.
So take a hypothetical. She collects for 10 years, $5,000 a year. She
right.
gets her $50,000. She's now 75.
Right.
And she passes.
Right.
What does she get as a death benefit?
Well, the death benefit is going to be the highest quarterly anniversary minus whatever the withdrawals are.
Minus what the withdrawal, meaning what she's earning.
Or at least 5% per year.
So
if she took out 5% a year and they put in 5% a year, it's a wash.
Okay.
But understand, this year it already stepped up to from 84 to 104 because she made 25%.
And what did you attribute that to within that IRA? Is it the investments that she's invested in inside that IRA?
Yeah. What happens is underneath this contract, she's invested in two things, which is pretty simple, the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ 100. Now, we take that for granted again. The S&P 500 is 500 of America's biggest companies. That's just that simple. The NASDAQ 100 is heavily loaded with tech companies, but it's the top 100 companies in the NASDAQ exchange. Now, there's roughly 4,000 companies in the NASDAQ. How many companies excuse me, we know there's 500 in the S&P 500.
Well, depends what we're talking about. There's 500 large caps. There's 400 mid caps. There's the 100.
But the S&P 500 is 500 right. all large caps
and
in
then
theory.
You've got the small caps. You've got the Russell 2000, and you've got the Russell 6000.
But what we're looking at here underneath her line, these underlying, this 25% that it went up for the last year, the key thing with this program is she got locked in for 104,000 and she started at 84. Now she died today, her family gets 105.
So as long as it grows by the same rate that she's withdrawing,
yeah,
you break even. Well, actually she'll lock in that $15,000 gain.
But she's already locked it in already. And she literally can take out $21,000 today, $21,000, and still get this guaranteed $5,000 a year because it earned way over the 5%.
Right. What happens in those years when it doesn't earn, Joe?
Then it stays at that $104,000, which is
so her. So she'll never be able to get less than that.
Can't get less.
That minus whatever she's already taken out.
No, the 104 will stay.
Forever. No matter how much she withdraws.
Makes no difference. She gets a 5% number.
Not a bad deal.
Pretty good deal.
It's a magnificent deal. Yeah. Magnificent deal.
I'd be grateful if you'd mentioned to this client that both my folks are gone now. I am available for adoption.
You know, if you weren't old and ugly, I'd think about it. What can I do? Anyway, the only reason, and this is, by the way, this is an insurance, what I called an insured investment. This puts insurance together with investment. We love to make money when the market's hot. This client made 25% in the last 12 months. She's just happy as a clam. But what if the market corrects or tanks, which it has from time to time?
Right.
Well, this is an insured investment. It puts insurance together with investment.
So you'll never get less than that high water mark that they set.
The only way you can is if you cash the whole thing in at some point.
Assume she doesn't and just
dies. Assume that you just take out and you have just die, the family, your money's protected.
Wow.
So
pretty good.
Now, here's what my compliance people say. You have to be concerned about the claims paying ability of the insurance company. Now, I hate to tell you, this is one of the highest rated companies in America. It's the only ones I deal with, period. So I don't want any aggravation. So this is a magnificent program that today is the, you know, Alan, you and I talk about this because we argue because he was a financial advisor also. There's different types of investments and they come and go. Nobody stays on top of the heap that rotates constantly. This company happens to have the best program on the market today. And in fact, at lunch, we had two full dress suits took us to lunch today. And one was with a monster mutual fund company, and another one was with this insurance company. And you heard lots of four-syllable words today at lunch and lots of conversation that, you know, industry words. She was just sitting there nodding and looking good. But the bottom line was, the reality is, what do we expect the economy to do for the next 2 or 3 years? Now, it's a $64,000 question. We have opinions, right?
Of course. As many people you have out there, you've got an opinion.
My opinion is this. My opinion changed from 2 years ago till today. 2 years ago, I would have said, hey, we have a full market. We may get a correction any day. All of a sudden, our gross domestic product is over 3%, two quarters in a row. Nobody predicted that except our current administration. Now, all of a sudden, businesses are starting to thrive. Consumer confidence is way up. I think most, even relatively pessimistic people are saying we have at least another year and we could have more, that it's going to run. Here comes some mitigators. Interest rates start to soar because inflation rears its ugly head, could cause a problem. Let's put major catastrophes, like war, could cause a problem. Things could happen, but on the surface, it looks like we have a pretty good run, in my opinion, ahead of us, at least a year, maybe two, maybe more, but at least a year before things have a real strong possibility of adjusting or correcting, quote, or changing. Alan, your opinion?
I agree, but one thing is,
I like when a person says, but. That means he disagrees.
No, not about what you said, but I want to get back to the insured annuity that we've been talking about. I think we should point out that because it's insured, there isn't a real risk to your money, but there is a time risk. In other words, if you had $100,000 in October of 2007, the top of the market. And then we had the big crash into 09. Say you had $100,000 in,
back then,
in
right?
October of 07. Well, that money is insured. You've got it. But it may take 2, 3, 4, 5 years for the value of that account to go over that 100,000 mark. And during that time, your 100,000 is just sitting there. You can take it out whenever you want, if you or your minimum withdrawal.
Or your distribution,
but
right?
You're not getting the market opportunity. And one show you mentioned the possibility, and I'm not advocating this, and I don't think you are either, of cashing in these annuities when you feel the market is way at the top and the economy is looking like it's going to come down, for the possibility of buying back into the annuity at a lower price and thereby getting more of an opportunity for growth.
Well, here's the key. Nobody likes insurance. I mean, who in the devil? I pay my car insurance. Do I like it? No. Pay my house insurance? No. Pay my health insurance? No. The key is none of us want to collect on insurance. If the market wins, insurance was useless, right?
Yeah, we all win.
But the bottom line is this. If this client today, after one year, put in $84,000, cashed it in today, would get $99,000. 1 year. Now, that's a pretty strong return in any market. That's after penalties, after everything.
17%.
Not bad. Not bad.
Now, what does it cost us in real terms, Joe?
Pardon me?
What does it cost us, the consumer, to buy that insurance? Essentially, you've got an insured product. We got to pay for it some way, somehow. Where does that come from?
Well, I used a generality, and let's just use it. Mm-hmm. Roughly, the insurance company is making 3% a year, but it doesn't come out of the guarantees. It comes out of the market value. Just to give you, this is a generality. So today it's worth $105,000. If there was no insurance company involved, no insurance company, that would be 3% higher.
Okay, so they take it out
of the...
It'd
be another $3,000 or $4,000 higher. So instead of $105,000, it'd be $108,000 or $109,000. Because it's just like a mutual fund. They take out a little bit every day. Mm-hmm. Well, the insurance company takes out, and they take it out usually on a quarterly basis, and they send you a statement to show you what they got paid. There's no free lunches in this world, of course, unless you're a politician.
Well, that's really why I'm asking. Where there's no free lunch, so somebody's paying it for it at some point. It's insurance, but you're buying it.
Look at car insurance, house insurance, any kind of insurance is insurance companies have to make
a
profit.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Well, you know, here comes the key. Now, there's a lot of people would say, what do I need insurance for? Well, let me tell you, when the economy starts to go south and people are in trouble, you don't hear them saying that.
Right.
When the economy's going straight up, they say, what do I need insurance? Things are making money like crazy. I was talking to a client of mine today who lives up north and said, boy, if I'd have been invested, I said, yeah, but you remember, you didn't want to be invested in you wanted as much safety as humanly possible. And he said, yeah, but if and I said, no, but you didn't. So now you're complaining about making 5 or 8 or 10% a year.
When you get that word from
I'm interpolating.
You know, it's like the person who bought any kind of insurance, disability, for example.
Yeah.
You pay your whole life at a disability policy, but you never had a disability. Well, we should feel blessed that we didn't have this.
Instead, you're mad at the insurance company for taking my money.
They took my money all this time and they never had to pay.
Well, you know, hey, wouldn't we all like to have back our homeowners insurance? We've never had a claim for 20 or 30 years.
Yeah,
we'd love to have that money back. But guess what? Could we afford to take the risk on our own?
No.
No.
Which is why you pay for the one that, you know, has the loss.
Yeah.
So we collectively pay for those people who have the loss.
So yes, an insurance company makes money, but I look at what a client makes, what they can put in their pocket, and I've got a lot of clients that say, hey, Joe, don't confuse me with details. Just let me, what am I going to make? And I need to know for sure what I'm going to make every year. And isn't it nice to say, well, guess what? You might get a raise every year if the market goes up, but if the market goes down, you don't get a cut.
Yeah, that's
You stay at the top number.
Heads I win, tails you lose.
And this is called heads I win and tails I still won, because I'm protected. Yeah. I'm protected. So that's why I wanted Pastor Dave to see. He has a hard time with the forest and the trees sometimes.
Yeah, but he got that mutual fund thing down.
Hey, what's a mutual fund, Dave?
It's too close to dinner time.
Too close? He's getting hungry for a pizza.
Getting hungry for pizza. Absolutely.
But I got that figured out, all right.
Did you ever see Pastor Dave describe a mutual fund? Mm-hmm. Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I was going to put you on the spot, but she already said she heard it last week, right?
Two weeks ago. Last time you were here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's too bad.
Give it a week or two.
But you did a really, really good job of separating the tree and from the forest, explaining how that works. A lot of things that we take for granted, we're sitting here, and it's kind of nice to have Pastor Dave or Pastor Tom or Karen or somebody that doesn't have it every day, because we can bounce it off of you, and then you can say, Joe, I didn't understand a word of what you said.
Well, I'm kind of like every man, right? You know, every person, I'm the kind of the guy on the street, the lowest common denominator, maybe.
It sounds like a song to me.
Well, it does, doesn't it? But yeah, I know a lot of stuff, and I don't know a lot of stuff. So,
you know, what was it? Dan said, wisdom is an accumulation of mistakes.
Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned this client who wished they were in But, you know, it's a matter of perception. It would have been great this year if you were in the Dow Jones Industrial Average in Boeing, up 70%, but if you were in General Electric, you were down 30% for the year.
Literally. You see what happens, folks? It's not there's no such thing as a perfect crystal ball. Mine I threw out years ago. But the key thing we're trying to say is when we put an insured investment together, it just is there to protect you. Now, is this good for everybody? Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
I have people that say, Joe, I need to have short-term money. This is not it. This is not short-term money. This has penalty phases for the next 7 years. On the other hand, if it makes quite a bit of money that this did, you can still cash it in and run. You know, because this lady's 17% ahead.
You just pay the penalty and you take your money.
After penalties and everything.
You're still making money.
17% is not a bad number in 1 year.
No.
Most people would be tickled with that. 1-888-221-8990, because nobody loves us today. Nobody called. Remember this. Any questions you might have to do, and that's what we're here to help when it comes to taxes, accounting, legal, mortgages, real estate, or financial matters, we're here to help. Any way we can help you, we will. And by the way, anybody that's called us, if we have not called you back, and I say that because sometimes when the calls go through two or three different people, they get messed up. Every once in a while, I see a phone call. And in my book, in my office, you have to put a line through it if you've done it back. And sometimes the line is forgotten.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I call people up. So, oh, yeah, you called me yesterday, dummy. Didn't you remember?
I said, no, I'm sorry. That's
I went to Vince Rosino's school.
That's a concession to getting old, Joe. That's the only one you're okay.
Thank you so much. I feel so. What's your name again?
I don't know.
1-888-221-8990, 888-221-8990. Call anytime. Pastor Tom, Dave, or Karen will take your name and number, and we'll get back to you. And I think we should say goodbye. What do you think?
Yes, I think we should say goodbye, and God bless you all.
I want to say goodbye. Have a great weekend.
You want to hear say goodbye from somebody from misery? Come on, Deborah, say goodbye.
Goodbye, folks.
Goodbye. Boy, that was really emotional. All right, folks, thank you so much. And until next week, we are off the air. Goodbye. Yeah,
bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Team MarTech program. The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-678-7725.
king of the ages. All through the pages of time, I have been yours and you have been mine. You have been mine. King, king of all glory.